few years back, a few decades back actually, there's a story about a young woman who was graduating high school, and she was very excited. She'd been accepted to Florida State University. She was very excited to go to college and do all the college things and study and do well, make friends, join a sorority, all that fun stuff. And as she was finishing up and she was getting through her summer months and getting ready to take off from home for the first time, her grandma gave her a gift. She had gifted her a brand new rosary. And she begged her granddaughter to make her a promise that every day while she was away at college, she would pray that rosary, especially when she went to bed at night, you know, every night to pray the rosary. And the grandma even said, I don't even care if you fall asleep while praying it. I want you to at least make an effort every night to pray the rosary. And the granddaughter, this is, you know, kind of a bummer, you know, because she was thinking, you know, I'm going to be having these late nights with friends, and I'm going to have things I'm going to have to study, like, you know, it's going to kind of be a drag on my social life. But she made the promise. She looked at her grandma and said, I promise every night I will pray the rosary. And she did. She went off to college, and every night, as she promised, without fail, she prayed the rosary. Some nights it was very well done, very intentional. Some nights it was an afterthought. She got back late, and she was just like, I gotta pray the rosary. And she'd start it, and she'd end up falling asleep on the bed, and her guardian angel finished the prayers for her. Then on January 13th, 1978, she woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of screaming in her sorority. Still clutching onto her rosary that she fell asleep praying, she looked at the door of her dormitory to see what was going on. She continued to hear screams from down the hall of her classmates, her fellow sorority sisters. Suddenly a man appeared in her doorway holding a bloodied baseball bat. And she couldn't even scream. She was terrified. And the man tried to enter into her dorm. And something weird happened. He couldn't get in. He tried again. He stepped through the door frame, but he was repelled backwards. He got this confused look on his face, and he kind of looked around the door jamb, wondering what was going on, and tried one more time, and once again was blocked from the door. And after that, he kind of freaked out and left. He ran out of the sorority. Very quickly after that, the police car showed up. Someone had called the cops. And they revealed to her that the man that she had just seen was Ted Bundy, the serial killer from the 1970s. And they interviewed her. They wanted to get information from her about what she saw, what was going on. And she refused to talk to them because she's like, how am I going to explain this? And so she demanded to talk to a priest. Well, thankfully, the sheriff who was there called the local priest, a Monsignor Kerr, and Monsignor showed up and prayed with the victims and their families of that atrocious attack that evening. When we had a spare moment, he finally sat down with this young lady, and she told him her whole story and how she'd made this promise to her grandmother, and she prayed this rosary every night, and she believed it saved her. A month after that, Monsignor Kerr, he gets a call from the sheriff who has Ted Bundy in custody. That was the night that they finally caught him, and he was put behind bars and never harmed another human being after that. But while he was in prison for that month, he asked if he could see a priest. He wasn't Catholic. Kind of odd, asking to see a priest. The sheriff relinquished and called up Monsignor Kerr, and he agreed to come out there. And he went out there, and he met with Ted Bundy in his cell. And they started talking about that night, January 13th, 1978. And Monsignor asked him, what happened that night? And Ted Bundy told him, you know, he was just going through his normal craze. And he got to the door frame of that girl, and he said it was odd. He said, I tried to enter that room, and I just couldn't. There was something standing in my way, some mysterious force. It was then that Monsignor relayed to him the story that he had heard from the girl, that she prayed the rosary every night, and he explained that it wasn't some mysterious force, it wasn't some random occurrence. It was the power of Our Lady. We don't talk about the rosary very much anymore. And it kind of saddens me, because I've done a lot of funerals, and you go to the visitation the night before and they want a rosary prayed, and you lead it and you see the older generation, they know it by heart, they have no problems with it. You get to the younger generation and some of them know how to pray the rosary, some of them, it's a foreign concept. Now, I'm not saying you have to pray the rosary to be a good Catholic. I don't want that to be the message that you're taking away. If I don't pray the rosary, I'm a horrible Catholic. Father Dan is not saying that. But there is something to that prayer. Mainly because of what we celebrate today. We celebrate the feast of the Assumption, in which Mary was brought body and soul into heaven, that she literally stands, physically stands, next to God Himself, whispering in His ear our prayers on our behalf. The rosary, it's a beautiful prayer. We get so much out of it. One of the first things I think of is that when you have a rosary, it first of all, it's a physical thing. You know, it's something we hang on to. These beads that we move through. And that thing, that physical object, usually means something to us. This is the chance I have to do some show and tell, so stay with me here. So over the course of my life, I have a million different rosaries. And there are some of them, though, that I'll never get rid of because of what they mean. And when I pray them, I think about the person who gave them to me, or I think about where I was or the situation that brought them to me. Like this one, for instance, was when I was a kid, and we happened to have the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, this traveling image, show up at our house, and we were hosting it for the parish to come and see, which I remember being very bitter about, because we had to make sure the house was cleaned every single day as parishioners just randomly came to our house to pray to this image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So my parents, kind of I guess as a thank you, bought us these rosaries in honor of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I've kept it all these years in memory of that. Or this one right here, where I went to the Holy Land, and we were down in Bethlehem at the birthplace of Christ, and we have the olive wood that makes up this rosary. Or we got the one that when our house was blessed, and Father Bramlage came out, and he blessed the house, and he enthroned the Sacred Heart of Jesus there, and he gave us these rosaries blessed by Pope John Paul II. Each of us kids got one of these to pray. Or we got the one that my girlfriend gave me in high school, which ironically broke after we broke up. I don't know if that was a sign of things to come, I don't know. But I have kept this rosary all these years that she gifted me. And then we've got the rosary that I received when we went to Ireland last year. Of course, it's green, it's got a shamrock on it. I've got a rosary that someone just gifted me for my 5-year anniversary of priesthood, which was very, very nice. That was beautiful. And then we've got a rosary, probably the most important one in the set, that was made from the rose petals of the roses at my brother's funeral. And so these rosaries, they're not just random, they're meaningful. They have a history, they have a story behind them. And so when you pray them, you remember these things. Another reason the rosary is so important to us is it builds community. You want to pray with your family? There's no better way than the rosary. Why? Because it's a call and response. It demands active participation in it. It was set up that way. Back in the early days when the rosary first came out, it was supposed to be a reflection of what the monks prayed in the Middle Ages, that they would get together in community and they'd pray the 150 psalms in the Bible. And we still do that to this day, morning prayer and evening prayer, we pray these psalms. And the common man wanted to take part in that. And so they made the rosary with 150 Hail Marys attached. Now, our standard rosary has 50 beads for Hail Marys, but there's three sets of mysteries, or now there's four, but there used to be three. Three times 50, my math, 150. Same number of psalms that there are. It's meant to be prayed in community. And lastly, a few weeks ago I gave a homily where I talked about how people struggle to pray and they don't know how to pray. The rosary may be one of the easiest prayers we have. It's childish. It's made up of three very basic prayers that we all have memorized. The Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. And as you pray them again and again and again, our mind just lends itself to prayer almost automatically. And yes, if you're like me, you get distracted. You think about a million other things. What you had for breakfast this morning. What you got to do for work tomorrow. What's going on in the family. But those things get integrated into the prayer. We find ourselves including them in our prayer. We join this meditative mindset when we just have that repetition of the rosary. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's what Grandma would have wanted. And so on this day that we celebrate the Assumption, Mary stands waiting for us to come to her. And as our stained glass window over here shows us, with Simon Stock, he receives the scapular of Our Lady, and legend has it, St. Dominic later on received the rosary. We have these images, these reminders to us of things we can do to take advantage of that intercession that apparently can save lives. Amen.